Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Nun Zayin. Today's daf is sponsored by Zecher Nishmas, Rachel Leah Bas Chaim Usher HaKohen, I think was the name, the mother of Henry Orlinsky, the Neshama Shevet Aliyah. She was a very, very, very special Jew, and the Zechus of our learning should be a tremendous Aliyah for her Neshama. Yahrzeit is, I believe, Wednesday night, Thursday, so we're learning right now Wednesday's daf, even though here in Camp Keli it is Tuesday night. So we're going to pick up from the Mishnah on Kufnun Vavim Beis at the bottom of the page. The topics that we're going to discuss today are as follows. First of all, the Mishnah is going to have a Machlokas Tanayim, whether Zechiah works B'chol, or only on Shabbos, meaning the halacha is you're not allowed to make kinyanim on Shabbos, you're allowed to make kinyanim during the week. So can you do zechiyah for somebody on Shabbos when you can't do kinyanim? So that everyone agrees you can. But what about, at least for a shchiv merah, but what about during the week when you have the option to do kinyanim? And also we're going to discuss whether zechiyah works for a gadol. Can you be zochah on behalf of a gadol who's capable of making kinyanim as opposed to a katan who's not capable of making kinyanim? And the Gemara is going to quote a machlokas which Tana holds which way. Even though we have one version in our Mishnah, there's another version as well. The second thing we're going to discuss on the Mishnah in Kufnun Zayin Amud Aleph is going to talk about what happens when it comes to resolving disputes that arise from not knowing who died first. A building caved in, there was a father and a son in there, and we don't know who died first, and perhaps a big enough gemina, because if the father died first, then the son yarshined everything the father had, and all the people the son owes money to have claims on everything that the father had left, because it all belonged to the son before he died. Whereas if the son died first, everything that belonged to the father, the people who the son owes money to have no claim on such things. So how do we resolve that? That's going to be the second topic. Then we're going to discuss whether you can create a shibud on property that you don't yet own. The Gemara is going to talk about, let's say, I'm borrowing money from you, so I'm saying that all of my nechassim are meshubah to pay back this loan. What about those nechassim that I don't even have yet? Nechassim that I'm going to buy are meshubah to pay back this loan. Am I able to do that? Am I able to be meshabit things that I don't even have yet to pay something back if I then sell those things off? And the Gemara is going to bring four rayas on that issue. And then the final discussion of the daf is going to be if a person is meshabit future kinyanim to two different people. Let's say I can be meshabit future kinyanim, but I do to two different people. So I say, I'm borrowing money from Reuven, and I say, oh, Reuven, anything I buy from here on in is all meshubah to you. And then I borrow money from Shimon, and, oh, Shimon, anything I buy from here on in is all meshubah to you. Whose shibud takes precedence? Reuven's shibud or Shimon's shibud? So that's going to be the fourth topic of today's daf. Let us begin. Kuf Nun Vavam Beis at the Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer Omer, B'Shabbos Dvarav Kayamim, M'Nesha'in Yachal Lichtov, Avul Lo B'chol. He says that when it comes to, if a shchiv merah is dividing up his estate, and he's doing it verbally, so on Shabbos it works. On Shabbos there's no disputing that it works, because you can't do anything else. Ein yachal, you can't do a kinyan on Shabbos. You're not able to write on Shabbos. You're not able to write a shtar on Shabbos. Aval lo b'chol, but on a weekday, you could just do a kinyan and write a shtar, so then and there's no concern that not allowing him to make the kinyan verbally is going to make him crazy, or make him worried, or make him concerned in any way, because he could just make a kinyan if he wants to make a kinyan. So b'chol, we do not allow a shchiv merah to be mechalik nechasav al piv, to do things verbally. But Rabbi Yeshua Omer, b'Shabbos amru, kal v'chomer b'chol, that if we allow it on Shabbos, where you don't even have the ability to make a kinyan, and still we allow amira, so kal v'chomer it's going to work during the week. Why is that a kal v'chomer that it's going to work during the week? So this is very similar to the svara that appears throughout Shas, kal aroi lebila ein bila ma'akevas bo. That sometimes having the capacity to do something in a certain way means you're that much closer. You're that much closer to the goal. Whereas if you don't even have the capacity to do something in a certain way, then you're further away from the goal. So the fact that you don't have the ability to make a kinyan on Shabbos would mean that we're less likely to say that you could be makna with words alone. If you have the ability at least to make a kinyan during the week, you have the ability to write a shtar during the week, so we'll allow for making kinyan with words alone, because you have the capacity to make a real kinyan during the week. So that's the svar that we're using over here. Kolorei lebila ein bila ma kevesba. Very similar svar, at least, to kolorei lebila. Kolorei lebila, of course, is really primarily, initially at least, about a carbon mincha. How much flour, and the ratio of flour to oil. You don't actually need to do the blila of the carbon mincha to mix all the flour and oil together, but you need enough oil that it could wet all of the flour that you have for that karban mincha. It has to at least be ra'ui lebila, that if you were to mix it, that it would work. So that's the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. Kayotzeba, we have a similar machlokes. Zachin lakatan. A katan is not able to make kinyanim on his own. So the chum were masakin that someone else could be kona on his behalf, on behalf of a katan, even shalomidaito. A katan has no idea what's going on. You're allowed to do that. Ve'in zachin lagadol. But you cannot do zachia on behalf of a gadol, because let the gadol make his own kinyan. The whole din of, according to the shita, by the way, what about zachon ladim shalom b'fanav? Isn't that a din that we have throughout Shas that you crowies do for a gadol? Someone wants to, I know a guy in the Masmidim program that's looking for an orchos sadikim, and I happen to see an extra orchos sadikim on the hefker table, so I'm allowed to be kona it for him. Zachon ladim shalom b'fanav. I can make a kinyan on his behalf. What about Rabbi Lazar shita over here? Divrei Rabbi Lazar, the zachon the katan ein zachon legadol. Yeah, what you have to say according to the Blazer is that din of zachon ladim shlo b'fanav is only a din midrabanan. But midaraisa, you can only be zocha lekatan. You're not able to be zocha for a gadol. Rabbi Yeshua Omer lekatan amru kal v'chomer legadol. If you're able to be zocha for a katan who's unable to make his own kinyanim, so kal v'chomer a gadol who's so much closer because he's able to make his own kinyanim, kal v'chomer zechia should work for a gadol. Again, similar svara to the kolorei lebila ein type of svara. Now, as far as the issue of zechia, Rashi and Tosos both hold, Rashi and Maseches Gittin, and Tosos over here, that zechia works midin shlichus. That any time you're doing something that's beneficial to another person, you can self-appoint yourself as his shaliach and do it for him as a shaliach. The Ramban in Maseches Kiddushin and the Rashba hold that zechia does not work midin shlichus. It's a separate din, there's a kasuv called zechia. It has nothing to do with shlichus. The main afkamina, whether it works midin shlichus or doesn't work midin shlichus, what if the person that you're doing the zechia for is not a bar hachi for shlichus? He's not someone who's capable of appointing a shliach. That's the whole discussion in the sugya of ger katan in Maseches Ksubis, that if we are able to be megayer a katan based on the notion of zachon ladim shlo b'fanav, but can a katan be a bar zechia? Can a katan make you a shliach? Can a goy make you a shaliach? So that's a major discussion in Taisus in Ksubas Yud Aleph about in the Ger Katan Sugya. But that's a general machlokas about Zechia in general. Now says the Gemara, Masnisin Mani, who is the author of our Mishnah who assumes that it's Rabbi Eliezer who holds B'Shabbos Devar of Kayam and Avalo B'chol, and Rabbi Yeshua who holds that B'Shabbos Omer Kal V'chomer B'chol, as opposed to having the Shitos flipped? Which Tana holds that the way our Mishnah presented it is correct? So says Gemara, Rabbi Yudahi. It must be Rabbi Yudah. Titanya, because we have a brisa that Rameir Omer, the way Rameir presented the machlokes is that Rabbi Eliezer Omer b'chol dvar v'kayam neshiyachal lichtov avalo b'shabbos. Rameir is the one that says that it only works b'chol, that being mechalek yirnachasim al b'piv only works b'chol but not on Shabbos. That's Rabbi Eliezer that holds that way. Rabbi Yeshua Omer b'chol omer kal v'chomer l'shabbos. And it's Rabbi Yeshua who said that it works b'chol, then for sure kal v'chomer it's going to work on Shabbos. Kayotze bo, zachon legadol vein zachon lekatan, div Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is one that holds that you zachon legadol and not for a katan. And Rabbi Yeshua omer begadol omer kal v'chomer lekatan. And it's Rabbi Yeshua who says, well, if you could be zocha for a gadol kal v'chomer, you could be zocha for a katan. But Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rabbi Yehuda's presentation of the machlokas is the opposite. That Rabbi Eliezer omer b'Shabbos dvar v'kayam neshein yachal lichtov. That it's the way we have it in our Mishnah is the way Rabbi Yehuda presents it. That Rabbi Eliezer is the one that says that b'Shabbos dvar v'kayamin, but not on a weekday. Rabbi Yeshua b'Shabbos omer kal v'chomer b'chol. Kayotze bo zachon lekatan vein zachon legadol de Rabbi Eliezer. It's Rabbi Eliezer holds that you could do zechia for a katan, but not for a gadol. And Rabbi Yeshua omer lekatan omer kal v'chomer legadol. And Rabbi Yeshua says if it works for a katan, then kal v'chomer it's going to work for a gadol. So you see very clearly that the way our Mishnah presented the machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, is very much in line with the way Rabbi Yehuda presented the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. This is an example where later Tanaim argue about what earlier Tanaim said. That is an unusual type of machlokas. In most machlokas and shas, between Tanaim, between Amoraim, we're going to paskin one way or the other, but we say about both shitos, elu ve'elu, divrei elukim chayim, that they're both ultimately correct, even though we're going to paskin like one of them. What does it mean that they're both correct? So there is a discussion in the Mishnas Yaakov has a sefer on shas in Maseches Brachos. He suggests five different nafkaminas or six different nafkaminas la halacha. Why the even the shita we don't pass like matters la halacha. Kedai Rabbi Shimon l'smuch lev b'shas adchak, you know, those kinds of things that will rely on that shita la halacha. But normally Elav El Divrei Elokim Chaim says we don't pass la halacha, but we hold its MS. It's Torah la mito. It's not bitul Torah to learn that shita. However, Rashi writes in Maseches Ksuvos that when you have a later generation of Tanaim arguing about what an earlier generation of Tanaim said, you can't say Level Divrei Elokim Chaim because one of them is just wrong, because there's no way that Rabbi Eliezer held both sides of the machlokas and that Rabbi Shua held both sides of the machlokas. It can't be that it's Elav Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. One of them has to be wrong. That's the one of the exceptions to Elav Elu that Rashi points out in this type of machlokas. Okay, new Mishnah, says the Mishnah. So, Nafal Abayis Alav V'Alav. Let's say a house fell on two people and both people died. Let's say Reuven and Yaakov, right? Reuven and his father Yaakov. We just don't know who died first. Oh, a love, Vyal Marishav. Or maybe it fell on Reuven and his uncles that he was going to Yarshin. Someone that he stood to get money from, right? Vahaisa a love, Ksubas Yisho Balchov. It happens to be Reuven had a lot of debt. He owed his wife Ksuba. He owed Balchov a lot of money. So now these Balichov, the wife and the Balchov, want to come and they want to collect. Where can they collect from? So Yarshe Ha'av, Reuven's children or brothers, whoever it is that's going to Yarshin. They say Reuven died first, and then I'm sorry, Yarshim, not Reuven's Yarshim, Yaakov's Yarshim, the ones who would stand to inherit Yaakov, if only Reuven predeceased Yaakov, the ones who would stand to inherit Yaakov say, yeah, Reuven died first, so that everything belonged to everything that was Yaakov's, belonged to Yaakov at the time of his death, and now belongs to us. So they want to say Habein Meis Rishon V'Achar Kach Meis Av U'Balechov Hachov Omrim Ha'Av Meis Rishon V'Achar Kach Meis Haben. No, the Balechov say that Yaakov died first, and therefore Reuven immediately yarshined everything that Yaakov had, and Memela all of Yaakov's estate is now Meshubad to Reuven's Balechov. So Reuven's Balechov can actually collect from Yaakov's estate according to their claim. So what do we do in this situation? We don't know who died first. So Beshami Omrim Yachloku. Beshami says this is what we call Mamun Amutu B'Safik. Mamun Amutu B'Safik is Cholkin. So we divide it. So what does that mean? You divide it exactly? I'm not sure. The half of the estate is Meshubad and half is not Meshubad, or the Balichov only get to collect half of whatever is owed to them from the estate. Probably means half of the estate is Meshubad and half of the estate is not Meshubad, which may be enough to pay the Balichov. In full, right? Depending on how much of an estate it was. Ubeisilam Beisil say no. Nechas mechaskasan. The Yorshe Ha'av get everything. Yaakov's Yorshim get everything because last we knew Yaakov's estate belonged to Yaakov. It's true Yaakov might have died first and it might have belonged to Reuven, but that was already after the Leidas HaSafek. Last we knew it belonged to Yaakov, so we have the right to assume that it continues to belong to Yaakov. This is part of the klal that we have in Shas, Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vaday, that we have a Safek who died first, but we have a Vaday that once belonged to Yaakov. That's what the Rashbam writes. Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vaday, or probably the way that many other Rishonim say is, this isn't really Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vaday. Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vaday is, I have a Safek Taina, you have a Vaday Taina. There's no real Vaday Taina over here. Everyone's really Mesupak. Now, the other way to say it would be, Hamotzi Mechavero, Alav Haraya. The last one who was muchzak in it is Yaakov. Memela the Yorshe Yaakov are the muchzakim. So you want to take it away from them, you're going to have to bring a raya that they are not the muchzakim. The reason the Rashbam probably shies away from saying a motzi mechaver alef haraya was because the children of Yaakov were not really the muchzakim. It was Yaakov who was muchzak. And Yaakov's definitely no longer muchzak because he's dead. So that's it's somewhere between Maman al Motzim Eitzav Motzim Devadai and a Motzim Echaver Alav Haraya. Okay, says the Gemara. The Gemara is going to bring a Mishnah first to explain about a milvah bishtar collecting from lekuchos. Tan hasam hamad es chaver bishtar. Let's say I lend somebody money with a shtar. There's a shtar in the loan, so all of the nechasim of the loveh are meshuba to the malva. So after the loan, the loveh could sell his nechasim, govim nechasim meshubadim. The malva can go and collect from those nechasim meshubadim whatever the loveh sold. That's fine. The malva can take it away, can confiscate from the lekuchos. But al yidei Edim, if the loan was not with a shtar, it was only with Edim, government nechasim necharin, then he can only collect from the chasim that the lover still has, not from the chasim that the lover has already sold. So, by Shmuel, Shmuel raises the shayla, and this is going to take up the majority of the daf, this shayla. Let's say a lover writes in the shtar, I'm being meshabi to you all the nechasim that I own, and d'ikni ukane mahu. He says, "Deikni any nechasim that I one day will acquire," and then sure enough, he goes ahead and he acquires more nechasim. So is the shibud chal and those nechasim that he acquires afterwards to the point that even if he sells those nechasim, the malva is able to take those nechasim away from the lekuchos? Or do we say no? At the time that I wrote the shtar, I didn't own those nechasim. How could I be meshaved something that I don't even own? So that's the shaila that he asks. The Gemara is going to bring four rayas. So I'll leave. First, the Gemara says, "Let's lay the ground rules first. According to Rav Meir, they could even be makna davar shlo b'liyolam. So then, there's no question. Of course, it's gonna work to be meshabed. You could even be makna something that doesn't exist. You could be meshabed that which you don't yet own. That there's no doubt about that. According to Rav Meir, el kiti b'ilach alib d'rabban. The whole shaila is according to Rabban Dami, ain't not the makna davar shlo b'liyolam because the Rabban hold that a person cannot be makna davar." So should we say, just like you can't be makna dover shalom b'liyolam, you also can't be mishabed a dover that's eino biyado? Or do we say, no, all this karka that you're being mishabed is ba'olam, it's just that it's not yet in your possession, but it certainly all exists. That's how the Rashbam understands the two tzadim of the shayla. So the Rashash raises the question that the Gemara Tzmuchach, that even things that are ba'olam, but are just not in your rishus, are also called dover shalom b'liyolam. According to the Chachamim, that's a Beferish Gemara and Bamitzia Dafta Zayin. So the Rashash wonders what the Tut Stadim are over here. I mean, the way the Rashbam says the Tut Stadim is, oh, maybe this is called Ba'olam because the Karka exists. That's why it's called Ba'olam. No, the Sugim Bamitzia Dafta Zayin tells us that if you hold a person cannot be Makna Davar Shalom Aliyolam, then even something that you just don't have possession of yet is also called Davar Shalom Aliyolam, even if it does exist. What you would probably have to say instead is that if you hold that a person cannot be Makna Davar Shalom, maybe you're allowed to be mishabed a davar shlo b'liyolam because a shibud may not really be a kinyan. It may yes, may not be. That might be the real suffix over here. What is a shibud? When I am telling you that you're going to be able to collect from that property, am I giving you a kinyan b'miktsas in that property? So that I have to follow the rules of kinyanim. If I can't be makna davar shlo b'liyolam, I can't give you a kinyan b'miktsas in the property. Or is it no? There's no kinyan. You don't own the property at all. It's zechuse gevia that you have in the property. I'm selling you zechuse. I'm giving you zechuse gevia, but not a kinyan b'miktsas. So if it's zechuse gevia that I'm giving you, so then maybe a nachinami. We don't have to follow the rules of kinyanim, and it could work on a davar shlo b'liyolam. Amar Rav Yosef Tashmai says, let's listen to raya number one. Raya number one comes from a sugi in Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud. Reuven takes out a shtar chov against Shimon. Shimon says, I already paid it, and the raya that he has that he already paid it is that he takes out a shtar mechira that says that Reuven sold a field to him. He says, look, if I hadn't paid you back, how on earth would you have justified selling me a field? If I had money to buy a field, you know what you should have told me? I'm not giving you a field, give me that money, because that's the money that you owe me because I never paid you back. So it must be that I did pay you back, and that's why you sold a field to me. So Admon holds that Shimon's raya is a good raya, and he's going to win. But now we pick it up with Tashma, the Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim disagree with Admon, and they say that Shimon's Raya is not a good Raya at all. And they say Zahaya Pikeach, that Reuven was very wise, Shemachalo Asakarka, in selling him that field, even though he could have just asked for the money. Because he could not have collected his chov, Shimon didn't have any land. Money is metaltalim. Metaltalim he could easily hide. Shimon could have just hid the money. So now that he's selling Shimon Karka, ooh, you owe me money. The best thing that could ever happen to me is for me to make sure that you have Karka. Because if you have Karka, I'll always be able to find it. So I'll always be able to collect. That must be what Reuven was thinking. Ooh, Shimon owes me money, I'm going to sell him Karka. And that way, I'll always be able to collect. If I just know he has cash, he'll hide it from me. I'm never going to see that money. Oh, but if I sell him Karka, I'll always be able to collect. So Amrei Rava, Minei Ka'amrit, you want to bring it. So what's the Raya? What's the Raya? So the Raya apparently is that this Karka, Shimon didn't own this Karka at the time of the loan, because Reuven's only selling it to him now. Right? So obviously there's a shibud on the karka that he didn't even own yet at the time of the loan. So isn't that a raya that you could create a shibud on something that you don't yet own? De ikni. So it says the Gemara, nah, not a raya. Amar Leh Rav, it's not such a great raya. Minei ka'amrit. You're going to bring a raya from a case where you're collecting from the lova himself? Minei, afilu miglimet al kasvei. If you're collecting from the lova himself, of course you're allowed to collect from things that he did not yet own at the time of the loan. It says in every ksuba that the woman is able to collect. Even from the shirt off my back, she's able to collect. Many women, that's their favorite line in the whole ksuba. It shows that he's going to pay with anything to pay that ksuba. So certainly something that the lova still has, you're able to collect from. Our shaila wasn't about that. The ikni kana umachar. Our shaila was, I promise that I'm giving you a shibud on whatever I will be kone, and then I'm kone it, and then I sell it to someone else. Can you collect from that person who I sold it to? The ikni kana vahorish. Or I say that I'm going to be mishabi to you, whatever I will be kone, then I'm kone it, and then I'm morish it to someone. My! Does that the ikni work to create a shibud that you're able to collect from the lekuchos or from the yarshin? So Rav Chana Tashma, Rav Chana says, okay, we got to bring another raya to answer this shayla. Nafal abayis alavi alaviv. Our Mishnah, house caves in on a son and father. Alavi al marishav, or a guy and people who are morished him. Vaisal of ksubas isha. This guy happened to have been married, uba, so he had a wife that he owes a ksuba to, ubal chov, and he owes money to ubal chov, yorshea av. So we said in the Mishnah that the yorshea av omrim haben meis rishon vachar kach meis av. The yorshea av say that the son died first and then the father died, because they want to be able to say that the Av Yaakov, the father, still had his entire estate at the time that he died, so we yarshen it and not Reuven, and not Reuven's Balichov. But a Balichov was home, and the people that Reuven owed money to say, Av Meis Rishon, Yaakov died first, Reuven instantly inherited all of Yaakov's property, and therefore we can come and collect from Yaakov's property. Ooh, so they're assuming that would be the case, that they would be able to collect from Yaakov's property if only Yaakov died first, even though Reuven was only kona that property when Yaakov died, way after the loan happened. If you're going to say that things that he later acquires and then sells or is morish does not become a shubad, ninami da'av mispiresha, de'iknihu. Granted, the father dies first, and he's morish as nechasim to his son, but this is only something that comes in later, that the son is able to acquire later, and only now is he being, and then he's being morish it, because then the son dies, and he's being morish it. So Rav Nachman rejects this raya as well. Amalu Rav Nachman, Ze'era Chavrin Tirgama, Ze'era, our friend, explained this Mishnah, that if the father dies first, and then the son dies, that the Balichov are able to collect from the Yarshim, not because of de'ikni, and when these nechasim came to his rishos that they become a shubah to him. No, there was no de'ikni over here. He never said, things that I will be kona. And if he would have said de'ikni, it wouldn't have helped anything. You know why the yorshim have to pay the balichov? It's a separate din. Mitzvah le'isom, l'froch, chavas avien. There's a mitzvah that you some have, that they have an obligation to pay. the chov that belongs to their father. What is this mitzvah? So the Yad Ramah writes, and the Rashba and others, that it's a din of kavod, that they're chayiv in kavod aviyam. So as a din of kavod aviyam, they have to pay the chovos of their father. That's quite a chiddush, right? The Gemara Kiddushin tells us that mechavdu b'chayiv or mechavdu l'achamoso, that one has to be mechavid his father when he's alive, and mechavid his father after he's dead. But the way you mechavid a father when he's alive, and the way you mechavid him after he's dead, is different. How you mechavid him when he's alive? Yeah, he needs a drink of water, you get him a drink of water. Acts of service. How you mechabit a father after he's dead? By bringing dignity and honor to his name. You say, Zichrono Levracha, Reini Kaparas Mishkavo. So one of the ways of bringing dignity and honor to his name is that people shouldn't say, ah, that guy owed so much money and he left everyone high and dry. And he no, pay back all those chovos so that it will enhance his reputation, or at least restore his reputation. That's mechabdo la'acharmoso. That's the sugya by Aviv Rasha. The Gemara talks about in Bamitzia, what if the father stole and he didn't return the stolen item? So do you have an obligation to pay back the stolen item of the father? So the Gemara discusses, well, he's a Rasha. If he's stolen, he's a Rasha. I don't have to be mechabed Aviv Rasha. The Gemara says, no, k'sha'as a tshuva, you have to return it for kavod aviv. If he did tshuva, you have to return it for kavod aviv. Because you do have to be mechabed your father. If he did tshuva, why didn't he return it? The Gemara says, he didn't have time. He did tshuva and then dropped dead. So I still have to be mechabed Aviv Rasha. So, but the assumption is, like these Rishon say, that there is a din of kavod in restoring his reputation. Not all the Rishonim say like that, but that's how a number of the Rishonim say. What if the children don't want to? I mean, would Beis Din force this? So many of the Rishonim assume that even if they don't want to, they're kofen al mitzvos in this kind of situation. But the Yad Ramah writes that it's only a hava min in the Gemara like that. In the Maskana, we would not be kofen al mitzvos. We wouldn't force the children to do this. Rov of the Rishonim hold that if they didn't yarshin anything from the father, then there is no mitzvah to be poreach of aviyam. I mean, even that mitzvah to be poreach of aviyam, mishum kvodo, is kibra. Is Michel Av. It's not Michel Ben. So if he left Yerusha, good. So his Yerusha will go to pay. But if he didn't leave me anything with which to do this mitzvah, so Kibbut Av is not Michel Ben. I don't have to pay it back. So that's what Beis Yosef Chon Shemishma quotes a whole bunch of Rishonim, that you don't have to pay it back if he didn't leave any Yerusha. But anyway, the Gemara asks now, Maskal Ravashi. So Ravashi says, if there's no Shibur on these karkaos, it's only, you know, from the Koach of the Shtar, so the Shtar didn't really do anything. So Milval Pehu, then the whole thing should have a status of Milval Peh. Rav Shmuel Dar Mitzvah, Milval Peh, no Govel Lomino Yorshim Lomino Kluchos. If it's Milval Peh, then the Yorshim shouldn't have to pay anyway. Because in Milval Peh, you're not allowed to collect from the Yorshim or from the Kluchos. Ella Hamani, who's the Tanav, it says in our Mishnah that it helps to write the Ikni, Rem Meir, Damar Adamakna, Davar Shalab Aliyolam. It must be that we're assuming, like Rabbi Meir holds, that a person can be Makna, a Davar Shalab Aliyolam. And remember, the whole Shaila, whether the Ikni works, was not within Rem Meir. Within Rem Meir, we know that the Ikni does not work, that the Ikni works, because the Elzi could be Makna, Davar Shalab Aliyolam. So yeah, do we have a Raya from this Mishnah that you could be, that the Ikni works? Yes. But only according to Rabbi Meir, who we knew holds that the Ikni works. So it doesn't really prove anything. So now the Gemara tries another Raya. Amar of Yaakov Narpakod, Mishmeda Ravina, Toshmal, bring you another Raya from a Mishnah Masecha Shviyas. Shtarichov Hamukdaman. Let's say you have a Shtarichov where the Zman Halva'a that's written in the Shtar was before the Halva'a actually happened. You borrowed money on the 15th day of the month, the Shtar says the first day of the month. So Psulin, that is possible, because he's going to come and he's going to take away karkaos that you no longer had at the time of the halva'a. He's going to come, if you sold a karka on the fifth day of the month, he's going to come in and he's going to collect these karkaos and say, I borrowed the money on the first day of the month, all that is meshubah to me. But if you have a shtarchov that's mu'uchar, then it's ksherin, then it's kosher. Because what? He's only going to collect fewer nechasim, because if you sold anything off in between, he will not be able to collect that which he would have been able to collect from. Fine, well, he agreed to sign to his shtarchov mu'uchar. So in general, whenever you have, you can err one side or the other on a shtar, we always, mu'uchar is always better than muktam. Muktam is problematic because it could come out shalok adin that someone's going to be tarif lekucha shalok adin. On a mu'uchar, no one's ever tarif lekuchos shalok adin. So mu'uchar is always better than muktam. When you have a ksuba where it's unclear how to date it, mu'uchar is always better than muktam. V'yisal kadaitach de'ikni, but if you hold de'ikni kanu v'machar, de'ikni kanu v'horish, lo mishtabed, but if you hold that any time that you say that which I will be kone is not, is going to be mishubah to you, that it doesn't work, the shibud is not going to be chal on that which I will be kone, mulcharna mekshir de'ikniu. Shouldn't mulcharna also be a problem? Because what's going to happen? The chov really happened on the first of the month, and we wrote a shtar that says it happened on the 15th of the month. It could still be a terrible avla. Why will it be a terrible avla? Because in the shtar, I wrote the ikni, anything that I will be kona will become mishuba to you, right? So, but if you hold that the ikni doesn't work and it's actually not going to create a shibud, let's say I bought things on the fifth day of the month, you have a shtar that you're going to be able to collect from those lekuchos. But in reality, the de'ikni doesn't work. If I only bought it on the fifth of the month, you should not be allowed to collect from those lekuchos. So you could be torf lekuchos shloka din even on a shtar mu'uchar if you assume that that de'ikni does not work. So says the Gemara, you're right. This mission in Shvi'is is a raya that de'ikni does work. But Hamani Rameiri, it's assuming like Rameiri, Damar Ad Makna Davar Shlo Bel Yolam, holds that a person can be Makna Davar Shlo Bel Yolam. So now we bring another raya. Amar of Misharshi Mishmeid Rava Tashmar Misharshi says the name Rava. I'll bring you another raya to be poshet this suffik. L'shvach karkoos ketsad. The Mishnah Mesachs Gittin says that you're not allowed to collect for shvach karkoos from the chasim shubadim, only from the chasim b'nei chorin. What does that mean? Shvach karkoos. Haresha Machar Sada L'chaveru. Case was you had a chov and your fields were all meshuba to that chov. And you sold your field that's meshuba to pay back the guy you owe money to. You sold it to somebody else. V'hishbicha, and that somebody else, that lokeach went, and he made improvements on the field. Uba bal chov. So now your bal chov wants to collect his chov, and he wants to collect the chov from those nechasim. Utrafa, and therefore he goes and he's tore from the lokeach, the field that is now new and improved. So since the mocher sold that sada with achrayus, if the balchov comes and is torif that sada from the lokeach, the mocher is going to have to reimburse the lokeach for the money, for the value of the field. And he was meshabed all of his nechasim to this, so the lokeach can come and go and collect from the mocher. So kishuhu gove, when that lokeach comes back to the mocher and says, hey, the field I bought from you was just confiscated from me, gove esakeren min nechasim meshubadim, he can be gove what the field was worth at the time that he purchased it from the nechasim meshubadim, but es hashevach min nechasim b'nei chorin. He can only be gove the shevach, the improvements in the field, from nechasim b'nei chorin. But bottom line, over here you see that the balchov of the mocher was able to be gove from the lokech, not only the field itself, he was even able to be gove the shevach of the field. But v'yisal kadaitach de'ikni kana u'machar, de'ikni kana v'horish lo mishtabed. But if you're going to say that when you make the stipulation of de'ikni, and then you buy a field and you sell it, or you buy a field and you morish it, it's not going to become part of the shibud, balchov amai gove shvacha. Why is the balchov able to be gove the shevach that the lokeach added to the field? That shevach was not there at the time of the alva. That shevach should have the status of de'ikni, of something that's only purchased later on. So Gemara again, same dechia every time. Yeah, each of these mishnayos in a chinami prove that de'ikni is a shibud that works, but Hamani Rav Meir, he could just assume it's going like Rav Meir, Damar Ad Makna, Davar Shalom Eliyolim. Who is it? A person can be Makna, Davar Shalom Eliyolim. So now the Gemara discusses a new shayla. Okay, so fine, we'll leave that shayla alone. Imtim Tzulom Adikni Konav Machar Di'ikni Konav Ahorish Lo Mishtabed. If you're going to say that Di'ikni doesn't work, let's take that as a premise. If you're going to say that Di'ikni doesn't work, the shibud is not going to be chal on the chasen that you buy after the halva'a, because the malva is not able to be gove from the kuchos. There's no shibud. Imtim tzalomer mishtabed. But if you say that the ikni does work, what about the following? Meaning, if you say it doesn't work, we don't have any further shayla. If you say it does work, that the ikni does work to create a shibud, then we have the following shayla: lava v'chazar v'kana mahu. What happens if you lend money to somebody, or I'm sorry, you borrow money from somebody, and you write in the shtar that whatever I will be kone is going to be meshubah to you. Then v'lava, you borrow money from another person, and again you write in the shtar, whatever I will be kone is meshubah to you. And then v'chazar v'kana. Then you go out and you buy karkaos, and you sell those karkaos. Mahu. Which of the people that you owe money to is able to collect from those karkaos? L'kama mishtabed or l'basra mishtabed? Do you owe it to the first guy or the second guy? That even though you wrote to the first guy, that which I will be kona, but so long as you haven't been kona, the shibud is not there yet, and the lova can be chozar in it. So when you write the shtar to the second guy that you're being mishabed in whatever you're going to be kona, so maybe you're being chozer on what you wrote to the first guy. Maybe that's the way to understand this. That's how the Adrama explains. That you're being chozer on the de'ikni that you wrote in the first shtar. Because why would you write a de'ikni in the second shtar? So maybe it works that way. This used to be a shaila that we had, and they sent us from Eretz Yisrael a message that the Rishon is kona, that the Nechasim are Meshubah to the first Malve. Rav Huna Amar, Yachloku. Rav Huna says, no, neither one has the upper hand over the other. The same time that they're kona, at the very time that he's kona those Nechasim, it simultaneously becomes Meshubah to both of them. So if the Lova sells that field that he bought subsequently, and then the two Balichov come to collect, Yachlokum, they split it, and each one takes his portion of the money. V'chein tani Rab Baravua, Yachlokum. Rab Baravua says the same thing, that you would say, Yachlokum. It would therefore turn out, let's say the first guy was owed $100, the second guy was owed $200, the second guy, they would get, based al pi-cheshbon, right? The second guy would get twice as much as the first guy is able to get from it. And that's what the Rambam quotes from the Gaonim as well. The Rambam himself disagrees. He holds Yachlokum means Cholkum B'Shavet, that they split it evenly, regardless of the amount of money that's owed to each party. So anyway, that was the psak. Amar Ravina, Madura Kamad Ravashi Amarlan Rishon Kana. Madura Basad Ravashi Amarlan Yachloku. Vilchsa Yachloku. Ravashi initially told us the first guy's kona. The Madura Basra of Ravashi, when Ravashi chazered over all of his learning a second time, he decided Yachloku. And therefore we paskin Yachloku. An amazing thing. You see that they weren't stagnant in their shitos. That they would chazer it over and chazer it over, and whatever they held the last time, they were open to changing their mind and having a Madura Basra of what they held. It's a very big musraskal about not assuming you know it already. Ah, I know that already. I already passed on that shayla once. You may have passed on that shayla once. Chazer it over again. You may come to a different conclusion the next time you pass on that shayla. Meisveis, everyone asks as follows, the shvach karkos ketzad. What did the Mishnah mean when it said that for shvach karkos you can only collect from the chasim necharin? So we already explained. Hareshamachar said to the chaver of Ishbicha, you sold the field to your friend, and then that friend, the lokech, improved the field. Uba balchov itzraf, and the balchov comes and confiscates that field. Kshugova, when the lokech comes back to you to collect, govas hakeren min chasim shmadim es hashavach min chasim necharin. He collects the keren, the original value from the Nechasim Mishubadim, but whatever increased value there was in the field, that he can only collect from Nechasim B'nei Chorin. But V'emisa Chati Shavach Mibayle, if the din is that if someone borrows from two people and he writes to Ikni to both of them, and then he's Kona Nechasim, that it's Mishubah to both of them evenly, then it should have said that it goes that Chati the Shavach goes from the Nechasim B'nei Chorin. Because over here the Baal Chov shouldn't have taken the entire Shavach, he only should have taken half of it, because the Mocher owes to the money to the lokeach, so the malve and the lokeach are both owed money by the lova. So there are two parties that it's both meshubah to. So it should only be chatzi. So it says, yeah, that's what it means. My gova nami diktani chatzi shavach. You know what it means when it says gova? It means that your gova chatzi the shavach. It doesn't mean any more than chatzi the shavach. Just so one more minute, we'll just mention since we finished the daf that in the Pnine Halacha section of the Masifta over here, he discusses in this context the idea of writing a Madura Kama and a Madura Basra, since those words come up over here. He quotes from the Sefer Edus B'Yosef, who writes, "Va'ani tamid ayachala Hashem Baruch Hu ha'ozer amiti la'azreni lachzar al advarim l'saknam l'shachlam l'varam al matchunasam bavor shemo agadol," that he davens for Siyata Deshmaya to go over and over and over everything he wrote before publishing. Ubederach zura inu rabbeinu zal osim bedoraseinu v'kachaya derech hakadmonim zal v'kachaya derech kol haposkim mechabrei esfarim. I think they said Reb Chaim worked his whole life on a sefer. And he only wrote one sefer. The great Reb Chaim only wrote one sefer. He wrote it and rewrote it and rewrote it. That's why people learn it like a rishon, because he wrote it like he was a rishon, with every word so measured. The Tiferes Yisrael in the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos writes, "Ubiyichud davar zeh uchov al kol mechaber sefer." Anyone who ever writes a sefer has to be so careful. Lasos madura basra alachibur lefashreish b'stakav ubezovios hamum va'achem. I'm writing a sefer now, and one of the bits of advice I got from Rabbi Bamberger, who's a mashkiach in Landers, who's a mechaber of many svarim, he said, the first edition, print very few copies. You're going to find so many things that need to be corrected. And if there's a demand for more of it, that's when you should, the second time. There's always got to be Madura Basra, because you're always going to have to be looking back over and over and over again. There are always going to be things to correct in any sefer. And that's the tradition, that you go over and over, it takes a long time. I can tell you, just from this one experience, it's the first time I ever wrote anything. I finished writing this sefer in February. From February to now it's July, editing. It's all editing, rewriting and redoing and still not so great, you know, but it's just that's the process. Madura Kamen and Madura Basra, even with the Holy Amoraim. Okay, Beth Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Kuf Nun Ches.